Welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show, brought to you by Fevo. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and I am so excited to welcome back to the show, friend of the show. I would even go as far to say family of the show. Co-host of the Sims Complete podcast on the Believe Network, Matt Sims. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you so much. Glad to be back. Really appreciate coming on your show as always. And I thought you forgot about me there for a little bit, but I learned obviously pre-show that you were just giving me some time off, you know, like a good, you know, veteran coach would, you know, you mm-hmm. let me just kind of decompress, get ready for the season. So I appreciate that. I'm ready to go now, ready to talk some 49ers. Thank you again for having me, Tracy.
Absolutely. And yes, everybody, I told Matt that I let him be, and that was yeah. nice of me.
Oh. I let you have a life. Okay?
I let you have a life. And did you have a nice off season?
Yes, I had a great off season. You know, so thankful. My wife brought our second child into the world.
Oh my God! Congratulations.
Yeah. So I'm a girl dad now, which is just so amazing. Crazy to think and to say. But you know, so excited, and she's beautiful, and you know, just yeah, we're so ecstatic.
Well, that is amazing news. Big congratulations.
Thank you.
And I'm glad I asked. That's amazing. Well, big, yeah. big congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So from girl dad to football quarterback expert, we are going to transition. But no, I love that. Girl dad makes me happy for obvious reasons. BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything online sports betting. Right now, you can receive a 50% free bet of up to $250 on your first deposit to bet on anything from the Olympics to baseball to Formula One racing. BetOnline has every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here. So we're going to talk some 49ers. Training camp starts next week. At the time of recording, we know things can change on a dime. At the time of recording, two pieces of news with the 49ers. One, and if you are a 49ers fan, I don't know how you would have missed this, but just in case, Brandon Ayuk has requested a trade. I would like to point out that Brandon Ayuk can request all he wants. The 49ers don't have to honor it. And I honestly would be pretty surprised if they do. I also want to remind everybody who's freaking out, as sometimes seems to happen on the interwebs and social media, Deebo Samuel also requested a trade during his contract negotiations. And as everybody has noticed, Deebo Samuel is still on the San Francisco 49ers. So this does feel a little different. The situation is a little bit different. You know, I think in the past we've talked about how Brandon Ayuk, maybe it's very similar to Deebo Samuel and Nick Bosa. This feels like maybe it's not. They seem to be far apart. We're getting close to training camp. But I think the other thing I want to remind everybody, and Matt would love you to chime in on this too, is that if Brandon Ayuk doesn't get traded, which I don't think he's going to, if they can't come to an agreement on extension, he needs this year. He needs to accrue the year, which will help him in free agency. And he also would need the year to show the 49ers and other teams, look at what I did here, and you should have paid me. And now maybe right. another team will pay me. So it isn't going to behoove Brandon to sit out all of training camp. That doesn't mean he won't, but I don't think it would behoove him to do so. So Matt, I kind of would love your thoughts on that and, you know, his impact on the team.
Yeah, I mean, let's start there, right? Since that's where you kind of finished that point, is that, yeah, his impact on the team is huge. It really is. In a lot of ways, Brandon Ayuk really is receiver one on the San Francisco 49ers team, because I don't really value Deebo Samuel as that receiver one by mm-hmm. the way that they use him with his skill set. I see him more of almost an extension of like a Christian McCaffrey utility player that they kind of use in every facet of their offense. So Brandon Ayuk, I think, you know, mentally for him and personally, right, when he looks at himself and evaluates himself from just the the whole aspect of what he sees in the locker room. He's like, yeah, I'm the best receiver on the football team. Mm-hmm. Last year, I proved it. I even said on your show, you know, after watching the film of the Super Bowl, that he probably could have been the MVP of the game if Brock Purdy would have thrown him the football in certain situations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's just someone that right now just is feeling a little left out, and rightfully so, because he is an important piece of this offense. I think the news of Ricky Pearsall and also Brandon Ayuk, if both of these guys are not available, that really does change, I think, the offensive dynamic and the way that Kyle Shanahan attacks defenses. You know, so it really is an interesting thing right now for the 49ers, right, in that way. I think Brandon Ayuk really has proven to be one of the better receivers in the NFL and is very highly underrated, because I think he does get lost in the hype of Brock Purdy and George Kittle's personality and Debo Samuel's, you know, and also Christian McCaffrey's just multidisciplinary actions for them in that offense. So it is an interesting time. You're right. It doesn't help Brandon to sit there and watch and not participate at all. But at the same time, I think he is kind of trying to remind everybody too that I am an integral part of this offense, a very important piece, and also a program guy too that they believed in from day one when they drafted him. And he's really earned, you know, every bit of his keep so far and then some by what he's done on the field.
And you bring up Ricky Pearsall, and I'm glad that you did, because he started the season, or this off season, or the training camp. Let me start those words. But rookies reported to camp on Tuesday for San Francisco, and Ricky Pearsall has begun on the non-football injury list. And it's not thought to be serious. I've been covering a football a long time, though, so you just never know. But it is not thought to be serious. But it's an interesting wrinkle, because for the 49ers' perspective, they do draft Ricky Pearsall. A lot of people, including myself, felt that one of the reasons was that probably Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel are not both going to be on the team past the season. And so this was potentially one of their replacements. But if Ricky Pearsall is injured, and the other thing I'd like to remind people, I'm big on reminders today, during minicamp, Ricky Pearsall was in a blue no contact jersey. And I asked Kyle Shanahan about it, and he said it was soreness. They weren't worried about it. They were just being careful. Now, 6 weeks later, he starts on the NFI list. So it does create a wrinkle, because now I don't think they're trading Brandon Ayuk anyway. I really, really do not. I mean, I guess anything is possible. I just think such a slim chance. However, if the guy that maybe you're hoping could replace him isn't necessarily going to be available, you're double not trading Brandon Ayuk. I also think it helps Brandon Ayuk a little bit in these negotiations.
Yeah, it definitely does. And yeah, I cannot see the 49ers trading Brandon Ayuk, because I do think that they really kind of, you know, feel that way about him, as if a father, you know, loves a son in a way that, like, you know, they really were there with each other in the beginning of this process. And they've both grown through this process together and have really had some great moments and also some hardships too. So it is something that has to be resolved. Hopefully, you know, whether Brandon Ayuk gets what he thinks he deserves, that remains to be seen. You know, the other thing is too, is because of the role that he plays for the 49ers, I don't really know how many other teams and, you know, general managers out there or head coaches really understand everything that Brandon Ayuk brings to the table for the 49ers, because he gets overlooked at times. So it really is, I think, something that, you know, the 49ers need to resolve big picture for this football team, because I think he is an absolute just dynamo on the offensive side of the football. And all right, now take away Pearsall, take away Brandon Ayuk potentially just sitting out and waiting his turn. Tons of pressure goes on to Christian McCaffrey. Tons of pressure now goes on to Debo Samuel. And we know that, you know, with Debo and his physical style, and even Christian McCaffrey and just his, you know, percentages of downs and just the beatings that he takes consistently, and the way that both of those guys play, you know, again, you're kind of going back to that same thing that we discussed a year ago, where just like, we're putting a lot on the plate of these two gentlemen each and every week. And, you know, it's not like they're getting any younger.
No, they're definitely not. So we'll be interesting to see how all this plays out. The only last point I'll make is, because this, of course, has been a rumor. Again, I don't think they're trading him. But there is one GM in the league who is very aware of Brandon Ayuk, and that is Adam Peters in Washington. And, you know, Ayuk is done the FaceTime call with his quarterback, who's now the quarterback of the Commanders and all of that. So it's the one thing to kind of watch. But at the end of the day, unless they can get a playmaker like Brandon right now, it just makes no sense to trade him. Momentary glitch, but we're back. So all I said was unless they could get a playmaker like Brandon Ayuk in a trade, which I don't know that they can. There are rumors swirling around. However,
yeah.
I just don't think it makes sense. But let's switch gears for now to the guy who throws the ball to Brandon Ayuk, at least at the moment. And that is Brock Purdy, who I think it feels like he's been in the league 15 years. He is not. He's only played a full season. Let's not forget his first season. He came in December. So he's only played a full season. This will be his first real offseason. First offseason, he was a rookie and Mr. Irrelevant and everything that went with that. There's just a lot of things you have to do when you're preparing for the draft. When you go through that Mr. Irrelevant week, all the things. Last offseason, he's rehabbing a very serious elbow injury. This is his first true offseason. So when you look at what he did last year and kind of look ahead to this year, what improvements do you think we can see from him?
Yeah, the exciting thing is I think that we should see improvements both physically and mentally from him, right? Because now there isn't that like, oh, I got to get better. I got to continue to heal my elbow. The focus really is about just like his overall body health, getting bigger, faster, stronger, feeling more confident about himself and being just in the optimal shape that he feels comfortable playing in. And then also too, now, you know, without the aspect of like really over-focusing on his health and the repairment of his elbow, you know, he really can, I think, do deeper dives and reflections on, you know, what they did last season, what they can expand upon, and really start to open up the offense in a whole new way. And that's what's really exciting, I think, because as you spend more and more time with a particular offensive coordinator or coach, you know, that's essentially what happens, right, is that you start to build this layer cake of plays and dialogue between each other. And what worked last year might not work this next year, but still having that experience and being able to build off of it and to be able to mislead defenses by building plays that look like things that we did a year ago, but now we're doing it in a different sense because we want to, you know, emphasize another aspect of our offense. That's where I think it's really refreshing for both Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan, because there is no like, hey, you know, after this meeting, I got to go to treatment, you know, like I'm on the clock here. So I think we're going to really see another level of Brock's development from the mental aspect of it, more control at the line of scrimmage. You know, I definitely could see Kyle Shanahan and him implementing more of a tempo style of their offense too, which I think would be a huge, you know, advantage to them because of Brock's ability to dissect information quickly, be able to observe what the defense does and then get the team in the optimal play consistently. I think that's something that, you know, we should probably expect to see from the San Francisco 49ers now that they really have had that rapport in a full offseason to really go through it, think about it, and now to really build off of the things that they've done the past 2 years.
And he'll have had much more time with his receivers, more time with Christian McCaffrey. These are, you know, we talk a lot about with the play calling and what he's going to learn, but he's going to have had more times as receiver. So you go back to the Super Bowl and you talked about there were certain situations you felt like he should have thrown the ball to Brandon Ayuk. Maybe that changes. Assuming Brandon's on the team, maybe this year that changes. Now he knows, he trusts him differently, whatever it may be. And, and they've always had a good relationship, but I think that that is a big part of it as well. That sometimes we can forget and they get to know their receivers. He gets to know, okay, you know what? If Kittle does this on this play, I know I can get the ball to him. I know I can trust him to do this. I know I can trust Brandon to do this. I know I can trust Debo to do this. All of the things, I think that becomes an important thing. And then, of course, Juwan Jennings is another one. And they sure developed a lot of chemistry, especially towards the end of the season when it really counted. Another potential Super Bowl MVP candidate. So it will be interesting to see that. And it will also be kind of interesting in camp that a lot of these young receivers, if there's no Brandon Ayuk, at least in the beginning, and there's no Ricky Pearsall in the beginning, it's going to give a lot of them a chance to develop a chemistry with Brock Purdy as well. So I think the offense, the Kyle Shanahan offense is always fun, but I think it might even get more fun this season.
Yeah, it has. And it's opened up tremendously, too, in the past 2 years with Brock at quarterback. And I think Kyle really understands what his quarterback does extremely well. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing, again, a new Kyle Shanahan compared to what we saw with even, you know, what he did in Houston or Washington or even when we were with the Falcons together. Just the expansion of his offense and his thought process has really opened up. And I think with Brock and him together, just continuing that in the offseason, we're going to see a lot of fun new stuff this year.
Another thing, killing the transition game right now, wait till you hear this. Another thing Kyle Shanahan probably won't have to worry about as much this year, at least hopefully not, is the defense. You like what I did there? He has a new defensive coordinator who's been in his system quite some time, who he trusts. We know that things were not great with Steve Wilkes. We know at the end there, Kyle Shanahan was probably a lot more involved in the 49ers defense than he had ever planned to be in his life. And this year is probably something, that's probably something he's not going to have to worry about. So what do you think that even does? And also, I'm going to also throw in the wrinkle of Brandon Staley, because now he has someone that not only can help Nick Sorensen, but can help Kyle understand the way a defense is thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I think for Nick Sorensen, first of all, like, kudos to him and congratulations to him, too, because this dude has been in the game for a very long time mm-hmm. and has really earned his way all the way up the ladder in this opportunity. I think really for him, it's about the understanding of what was missing a year ago, that mm-hmm. lack of communication and understanding of, you know, we've built a team to play a certain style, right, in a certain way. And I think with Nick Sorensen, with his background being, you know, a player that played safety and did it mm-hmm. extremely well for a very long time, even participating in the Super Bowl with the Rams, but then also, too, just his influence on, you know, making the defense understand that they are not trying to be a pressure type of football team. They are trying to cover zones. They are trying to make sure that they have eyes on the quarterback all the time. And they are ultimately trying to make sure that they are flying around, you know, like their hair is on fire. And I think that's what Kyle wants to see from his team. He wants to see opposing offenses, you know, go 12 plays methodically down the field consistently mm-hmm. and play pitch and catch and make great execution over and over to defeat his football team, which he knows, you know, the probability of that is very slim, you know, and I think that's where Nick Sorensen and Brandon Staley, obviously with that aspect too, in his background, I think it's a great match. I think he understands what the team is designed and made for. We're going to see a lot of zone coverages. We're not going to see a lot of man. Hopefully, for his sake, we see a healthy secondary consistently mm-hmm. throughout the year, which will alleviate a lot of the headaches that I think Coach Wilkes had to endure last year with just, you know, the moving of pieces around. But, you know, barring that there are no, you know, huge health injuries on the defensive side of the football, especially in the secondary, you know, expect to see a version of that Legion of Boom type of style defense like we saw in Seattle, like we've been seeing in San Francisco these past few years, and really, you know, get back to the core of what they really want to and believe in there.
And when you mentioned the health of the secondary, of course, Talanoa Hufanga coming back from an ACL injury, Jair Brown, who had an interception in the Super Bowl, who really played well for San Francisco. I think having someone like Nick Sorensen to coach them too as their defensive coordinator will be really helpful for them. But when we talk about the secondary, a lot of talk about wide receivers and contracts, but there are mm-hmm. two key members of the secondary. Their two best corners are both going into the final year of their contracts, and that's Charvarius Ward and D'Amador Lenore. Charvarius Ward, a big free agent signing that they signed in 2022, that was really the most resources they'd put into a corner in the Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch era, but it was clear from the year before they needed that. D'Amador Lenore is a guy that they drafted in the sixth round, showed a ton of potential his rookie year, and a lot of personal things went on, and he had a really tough time and kind of went into the background. 2022, his second year in the league, Emmanuel Mosley goes down in week 5. D'Amador Lenore comes in, and since then has been a tremendous corner, not just for the 49ers, but I think has been a very good corner in this league. I don't know that we can call him like a top yet, but I think he's a very, very good corner. He's been really good for this team. His physicality, the way he plays, they're probably not going to be able to pay both of them. I mean, the problem is you can't keep anybody. Jed York said to us at the owners' meetings, when my uncle owned the team, it was a different dime. You could pay everybody.
That's right.
If you could, if that makes sense. If you had the means, it was fine. this is going to be a tough one. I think, obviously, and I'm sure this is not news to the 49ers. I would imagine this is already underway. You would try to extend them early because then maybe you can pay both of them. But these are two guys who have been tremendous, who are going to deserve whatever contract they get next. And so there's been this kind of joke on Twitter that it was, if they don't extend Ayuk, that this season would be like the Hunger Games between Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk as to who's going to get going to stay next year. Yeah. I'm going to think on the other side of the ball, it's kind of the Hunger Games between D'Amador Lenore and Charvarius Ward.
Yeah, it really is. And it kind of, I feel like it has that same sentiment really for all three of these players, right? And, you know, on the defensive side, to focus on that, excited for both of them. I really think, honestly, in a lot of ways, this is great, you know, for Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch to kind of play into this aspect a little bit too, you know. What'll be interesting is that, you know, one or the other maybe has more interceptions by the year's end. So the fans might think that he played better, but ultimately in that film room, they might be saying, you know, well, the other guy's actually executing what we're doing better. The other guy just seems to be finding the ball more, you know, and that's where I feel like that stuff gets really interesting too. And I've been in meetings too, where we've had those discussions, even as players, where it's like, listen, so-and-so's got a lot of touchdowns, but this guy is the one that's really making it happen for us. You know, I don't know if the fans know this. So either way, it's good, just internal competition, right, for that defense. I've heard both of those gentlemen speak very positively about the other, right, and how they do act as if they are kind of like that duo.
And
this is really... Yeah, and I think that's what's really cool, too. I think especially, too, in just like this day and age, too, a lot of the football players do a great job of supporting each other, especially if they are in a competition-like setting. And I don't doubt it for a minute either that Kyle and John are doing a great job of making sure that they, you know, instill that positive reinforcement and competition into that room to make sure that it isn't something that is detrimental or petty that that takes away from the ultimate goal of the team. And understanding that both of them, no matter what, are probably being paid. It just depends on which one's being paid by the 49ers.
Two things to say on that. One, the interception comment is interesting because I go back to something John Lynch said to us during the draft when they drafted Renardo Green. And he said, when they're looking at college players, they're not, they look at PBUs more than interceptions. Right. And so I would imagine that's not just a draft philosophy. That's probably a, you know, something that they're kind of, to your point, it's not going to just be all about the interceptions. And then kind of to one of your other points, they do speak fondly of each other. They're relative. I think they're relatively close friends. They certainly seem it, you know, in the locker room, on the field. Like, and so I don't think with either of them, you're ever going to have to worry about the petty. And I think the thing with both of them that stands out to me too, is they understand that we're in a business and that they're in a business. And
definitely,
I, going back to Ayuk, and this is just me on my soapbox to fans, he's not being greedy. He's not being a diva. This is his job. This is his life. Yeah. And he has a right to get paid what he feels he deserves. And he's also playing in a profession where one play could end his entire career. So he should put himself in a position where, if God forbid that happened, it wouldn't be the end of his life. You know, like that it wouldn't be like he's not going to have any money the rest of his life. So I think
he has earned that opportunity. He really has. He has earned that opportunity to be selfish. And he has been a player that has been extremely unselfish throughout his career in San Francisco and has been a great soldier. So for him to, you know, demand what he thinks he is worth and deserving of, that there is... You know, for me as a former player, dude, get as much as you possibly can, you know?
Yeah, and the team, and this is not a fault on teams, they will take care of it. The team will take care of itself. The players have to take care of themselves. So
that's right.
That's true. All right, this brings me to our last point. And one of the many reasons I don't think they're going to trade Brandon Ayuk is this team wants to win a Super Bowl this year. And in many ways, this is the year. I know that they don't like publicly talking about windows, and I know there are young players that we don't know how they're going to evolve, and so maybe next year can also be the year. But with this group that they have together, because it's going to look very different in 2025 just from a financial standpoint, to our point before, you can't keep everybody. With this group, this is their chance to win a Super Bowl. Would you think, should they not win a Super Bowl, is the season a failure? I ask you in July.
Man, you know, I guess I'll look at it from their perspective. Yes, Mm-hmm. Right. If I was in that locker room and considering how close we had been, the things that we have seen and been through and kind of endured through the years, I would absolutely say that, you know, if this was a year where they fell short in the wild card or for whatever reason, the divisional round or the conference, like, yes, it is going to be an absolutely, it's going to be a failure. It is. And I think that they will all reflect on it that exact same way, too, because of just one, how talented they are, how well coached they are. Right. And, mm-hmm. and really just how unique it really is to be a part of a team that is that damn good for that long, mm-hmm. you know, and it's rare. It's super special. And, you know, there isn't a week or two that doesn't go by where I don't reflect on, you know, the Super Bowl run that we had with the Atlanta Falcons and how special that was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the different moments that certain individuals made each and every week or sacrifices that made that super special. So, from the perspectives of the players, it absolutely would be a failure. This team is capable of doing it. The crazy thing, though, to me is that just the NFC, I feel like, is very much improved from a year ago. And I expect the Packers to be better. I expect the Detroit Lions to be hungrier and tougher and better. You know, I think that, you know, we know how good Philly is. Will they actually figure it out coaching-wise to put together the talent that they have on the field and make a run for it? We know the Cowboys are a tough football team unless they're playing, you know, the San Francisco 49ers. So, you know, it's like there's a lot of dynamics, I think, in the NFC right now that are really interesting. And then you have a few other teams and wildcard teams like mm-hmm. the Rams, too, who I think are more of a pain in the butt than we give them credit for.
I agree.
And, you know, could be an issue for some of these teams, depending on the matchups and how these teams kind of play or figure out their style as the year goes on. So absolutely would be a failure, you know, in a lot of ways for this team. So I root for them. I root for the Shanahan family, of course. I root for John Lynch. I'm excited for them. They got a tall task in front of them for sure, but it really is possible and tangible with the team that they have.
Absolutely. And Debo Samuel actually tweeted something within the last week, something to the effect of, you guys don't realize how hard it is to get to a Super Bowl.
And no doubt. No
that
doubt.
Is, I think that is something that does get taken for granted. And they almost didn't get to the Super Bowl twice. I mean, they almost lost each of their two playoff games. And frankly, they were pretty lucky against the Packers that they didn't. Jordan Love, you know, kind of helped them out at the end there with you. But I thought they were losing that game more than I thought they were losing the Detroit game, even at halftime when they were down by so much. When they were down by so much at halftime, I was like, I think they're going to come back. That Packers game, those last few minutes, I was like, well, looks like I'm booking vacation. So,
you know, and that's what's wild, too. That's why I think the NFL is so special as a league and just mm-hmm. as a business, too. Like, you really can't make this stuff up. I mean, you know, there's even a side of me, too, that, like, thinking about the playoffs last year, you know, what if Tampa Bay beats Detroit? You know, Tampa mm-hmm. Bay would have been a pain in the butt to play, too, because Todd Bowles, Baker just kind of cuts loose. He doesn't really give a damn, you know, what people think about him. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, a dangerous combination, you know, when you get into the playoffs, because, you know, those teams have no fear. Yeah. And I think that's what's really exciting about the NFC race this year. We know the AFC is just loaded with quarterback talent, but the NFC, much improved overall teams. And I think that's where this NFC race is going to be really interesting. And you're right. I mean, the 49ers really do kind of have to capitalize in some regard, or they're going to be, you know, almost looked upon as if, you know, our generation's Buffalo Bills in a lot of ways, which is crazy to think about.
It is crazy to think about, but I think that's probably true. And then the narrative that I hate, because I think it's ridiculous, is that Kyle Shanahan can't win the big one. And the reason I think it's ridiculous is because he's had to win so many big ones to get to it's one of my least favorite narratives. I think I get it to your narrative about Kirk Cousins that you don't like the current. I don't like that narrative. I think
drives me nuts.
It's just ridiculous. So I kind of, you know, as a beat reporter, I am unbiased, but I do like Kyle Shanahan. I like covering Kyle Shanahan. He's nothing but respectful to the media. He's open. He's transparent. So is John Lynch. And they deserve to win a Super Bowl. So I don't have a dog in this fight, but I hope for their sakes they get what they want.
Agreed.
I'll put it that
totally
way.
Totally agree.
Matt, thank you for coming back. Congratulations again on the baby. Woo! Hashtag girl dad. Love
Let's
it.
Go.
Please let everybody know where they can find you when you're not spending time with your little ones.
Yeah, Sims Complete, available wherever your podcasts are available. You know, me and my father just talking shop, primarily about the quarterback position, but we do a little bit of everything. You know, typical father-son duo. We heckle each other. You can find us on the Believe YouTube channel as well, and also the Sims Complete YouTube channel. So Sims Complete, talking all things football. Tracy, thank you again for including me in your show. Really grateful for every opportunity to speak to you and to the 49er fan base, and you know, really excited for the team this year.
Thank you so much for being here. You guys, you can find everything we do at fgsn.com. And we recently redid our website and I'm very excited about it and it looks amazing. So I encourage you guys to check it out. You can find me on Twitter at TracyFGSN, on Instagram at Tracy Sandler. We are brought to you by Bet Online. We are brought to you by FIVO, and give us a really good review. Okay, I think those are all my announcements. And with that, I will talk to everybody next time. Bye, all.